Well, welcome back to the table, ladies. And in our segment two here, we have our Bible study and our Bible study teacher, Connie Stampfel. Connie, welcome back to the table.
Thank you. It's very good to be here.
Well, ladies, we are in 1 Peter. We're going to be going through 1 and 2 Peter in this series. And everything you'll find on our website, all of these little separate podcasts, all of the study guides are there. But today, Connie has titled this one, Honorable Conduct. We're in 1 Peter, and if you want to follow along, we are just taking on two verses today, and that is verse 11 and 12. So why don't I start by reading those, and then Connie will do the teaching. And it says this, Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation.
Thank you, Amy. We're going to see there's a transition here. Peter has been talking so much about just all the privileges and blessings we have of being in Christ and how God has chosen us. And now he's going to become practical and tell us how to live and what that means for our lives as believers. And that's part of what I love about 1 Peter is he tells us how to apply these truths of what we have in Christ. And so here in verse 11, he starts out by saying, Beloved. Which is so kind. And you can see Peter, the shepherd of the sheep here, talking to the beloved children of God. And he says, Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles. And we've heard this before in 1 Peter. And again, that's the idea of being strangers and people who are not, this is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so we don't quite fit into the world and the world's values. And we've already seen God is holy. And so we as believers are to be distinct and apart from the world's way of doing things, from what the world desires. And Peter's going to be talking to us about how it is we do that so we live differently and we live in a way that pleases God. Because then he says, to abstain from the passions of the flesh. Literally, that is to hold yourself far apart from any fleshly indulgence. Mm-hmm. And as women, we can all think about certain areas where we may have a weakness, but here we're being exhorted to understand what the ways of the flesh are and to say no to them. And we can, and actually we can because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. If we are a child of God, if we've been born again through the Holy Spirit's power, we can say no to those things. And then it says, which wage war against your soul. And that is true. If we are in a war between fleshly desires or the things of God, that's a miserable place to be. Yeah. And as women, we need to recognize and be aware of that war and also to seek help in prayer in God's word. And sometimes that's even with other people who will help us, encourage us along the way. We all have struggles, but we do need to understand God's way is different. And we do have what we need to be able to look at and do those wars. We do have some scriptures to look at, which will probably help us under that, understand some of those things. And the first one I'm looking at is Romans 13:14. So Amy, if you would read that, that would help us.
All right. It says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires.
Okay. So there's a distinction between we put on Christ or we put on our flesh. And as redeemed, blood-bought children of God, we still actually have that fleshly sin nature that is not completely destroyed at this point. We are saved from the penalty of sin by Jesus Christ, and we actually, by the power of the Holy Spirit, do not need to succumb to the power of sin. But we, again, it's putting on Christ and with the power of the Holy Spirit working through those things. There's another scripture that's really good because James says it so well about how there can be a war going on inside us. And Amy, if you would then read James 4:1-4, it'll help us understand that war.
Sure. I love these passages. Mm-hmm. Connie, it says this, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God.
All right. And so James is there. He's being very blunt with us and telling us if you're desiring what would be the good or what you think belongs to your flesh, your prayers won't be answered, and that does not please God. And so we're talking about desiring God's will and God's way. And hopefully as we work our way through 1 Peter here, all of our hearts will be changed, so that we will desire God's will and what is pure and holy for to please him again. And going on then, Peter gives a strong exhortation. He tells them in verse 12, the people who are reading or listening to his letter, and then also to us, he says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. And that's a word that really means noble and above reproach. Mm-hmm. And so that's a very high standard. We actually need to think about the Lord Jesus. That would be our standard.
Yes.
So that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. And we know that at this time in history, the church wasn't really accepted by the pagan world or even normal Jews, because they were going about things differently. They weren't worshiping multiple gods. They weren't participating in what was going on in temple feasts. They just were living differently and were accused of all kinds of things, like cannibalism because of the Lord's Supper, and that they were poor citizens because they didn't worship the emperor, all those kinds of things. And so those people who come from a different worldview were not understanding who the Christians were. But Peter's telling us that our conduct is supposed to show them the right way. And so that even though they want to speak evil of us, by them seeing us walk right and talk right and represent Jesus, they will actually have to acknowledge that this is good behavior. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Jesus himself told his disciples that they were to be different and show how that would impact the world. And so in Matthew 5:16, Amy, if you would read that passage, that's a good one to show.
Sure. Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Yes. So God has called us to be his own, but we're also to represent him. And again, we're talking about light here, about the light of Christ in us then shining through to a dark world about what is good and right. And in Ephesians 2:10, Paul writes about how God has saved us by grace. And then in verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so again, if we are saved and the Holy Spirit is in us, we will be doing the things of God. And people will notice and know that we're different. It's a very, very good thing. And then one other thing that's going to happen is that those people who initially were speaking evil about the believers, that they would see those good works, and the verse closes with, and glorify God on the day of visitation. Day of visitation is really a time when God comes close to people. And in the Old Testament, those days could either be a day of judgment because he was bringing his wrath against their sin against them, or it could be a day of blessing if they were followers of him and close to him. And here we get the sense that God is really saying people will glorify God on the day of visitation. That means some people actually may be converted and come to understand who Jesus Christ is because of the behavior of those who know Jesus. And what a privilege to actually have perhaps a part in someone coming to understand who our Savior is because of us just following and walking in his ways.
Oh, Connie, thank you. And I want to encourage women to understand that being holy and set apart is not legalism, is it, Connie?
Not at all, because if God has really changed us, he is working if he's changed our hearts to make us truly born again and his daughters, his children, he's also changing us from the inside out so that we don't act the same as before.
I think in our flesh, too, we have that tendency to think of the words holy and set apart, and really say to ourselves as maybe an excuse, but God wants us to be blessed. Doesn't he want us to enjoy the blessings he's given us, and then name your thing that you cling to, because that's a blessing, right?
Oh, yes.
But we have to be very careful, ladies, that we're not holding those things up as idols, and that we are not part of this world, that we understand that our citizenship is truly, truly in heaven. Well, all right, we're going to leave this here because Nancy and I really want to talk a little bit more about this when we come back. But ladies, remember that all of the study guides, all of the podcasts for this Bible study are on our website at naomistable.com. We will be right back.